Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Two unscripted attractions enter their second week over the next two nights. Our Tuesday entry is America's Greatest Makers, the TPS Technology Hunt with $1 million at stake. Executive producer Dean Houser joins me next. As for tonight, BYU TV brings random acts of kindness. Call this the Prank Program with a Heart. Learn how later this hour from producer Tom Morell and host Will Rubio. Also ahead, Peabody Preview, The Real Reels On, and our classic trivia question of the week. Hello everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, it's Happy Siblings Day, and tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. You can get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the hour. Happy, happy Wednesday, this Happy Siblings Day 2016. Great Monday to you and all. 61 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. We thought we were going to get a lot of rain. Turns out we didn't, and everything is shiny. Got some wonderful guests coming your way over the next hour on the program All About Television. And as always, we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple, easy as letting your fingers do the walking and you do the talking with this phone number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. We got chat room in business as well. Simon Apple 04 by name at blogtalkradio.com. Yes, 944. And our good friend Rick Redd from Philadelphia already in the room. So use the phone or the room. Either way, we hear you. And while the program is on the air, you can connect to us by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen. Follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Dean Houser from America's Greatest Makers on TBS will be live with us from Los Angeles after these news notes. By this time tomorrow, we'll know the players for the Peabody Awards, considered the Pulitzer Prize of media. Well, somewhat. For the 75th anniversary of the awards, Peabody will institute a two-step announcement. 60 finalists will be unveiled tomorrow morning. And the following week, that group will be cut in half to 30 winners, detailed gradually through early May. Peabody organizers say the move was in recognition of the amount of outstanding material entered this year. The awards will be given out May 21st here in New York, with ceremony highlights offered as a 90-minute special in June on Pivot. Warner Brothers has renewed the reel through the 2017-18 season. The syndicated talk hour with an all-female panel is now in its second daytime season and gets a late-night encore weeknights on BET. Netflix has instead its opening season of Degrassi by 10 episodes. The long-running program's next-class format launched on Netflix 3 months ago after teen-oriented drama and its Teen Nick run in 2015. 20 episodes are in play now. The next will debut July 22nd. And Ed Snyder, the Philadelphia-based sports innovator who created Prism, TV's first regional paid sports channel in 1976, has died. He was 83 and suffered the last 2 years from bladder cancer. And that's news notes for now. Last Tuesday night, TBS premiered its most ambitious competition yet in partnership with Intel, America's Greatest Maker. The idea? Get 24 teams of two to create new wearables and smart connected devices. The prize at stake? $1 million. Joining us live from Los Angeles in an exclusive interview, the executive producer of America's Greatest Maker, Dean Houser. Dean, happy to have you aboard.
Hello. I'm glad to be here.
What's been the audience reaction 1 week in?
People are loving it. It's really exciting to see. I get people from Nebraska, where I'm from, and across the country. It's interesting to see all the different ages involved, because I have grandparents loving this show all the way to young kids that really want to get involved. And it sort of mimics our cast. We have people from 15 years old to 59 on this show. It's a pretty crazy diverse cast, probably the most I've ever had before.
You're working with Mark Burnett and the people at MGM Television on this. How long has MGM and you and TBS thought about doing a competition like this?
Well, it was actually Intel's idea, and they came to us and Turner and said, let's try to put this together. And I think it's been a great partnership. They've been thinking about it. They had a contest last year that they ran called Make It Wearable. that they did it online, and they had teams all over the world try it out, and it was for wearable devices. And they thought, this year, let's go big, let's go crazy, and let's have – it doesn't have to be wearable devices. It can be any sort of smart connected device, and let's see if we can get people excited about it. And so that's where we came in, and we helped put this show together.
And how did you get the 24 teams of contestants?
We reached out everywhere. We had a casting team. We had people from colleges, from maker fairs, any place that we could find these people that actually are in this world, that build things, that make things with their hands and love technology. We went out, we searched, and we asked them to be part of this. And we ended up getting over 2,000 entries, which we then pared down to the 24 teams that you're seeing on this show.
Mm-hmm. And when you whittled the teams down to the 24 that started last Tuesday night, what was the big parameter or the big priority that you and everybody judging this competition wanted?
Well, it is we put them in front of the judges. First of all, our casting team and ourselves, we all sort of weeded them down. We tried to define big, fun ideas that can be anything from life-saving devices to just whimsical fun, like from fashion to sports, from mind control to medical ideas. And then we threw those teams in front of the judges, and they were looking for marketability. They were looking for technology use. They were looking for presentation. They were looking for the use of the technology. And they watched all of that. And you got to think about it. Makers are always in different forms, right? Some of these people came in and they had full-fledged ideas ready to go. And some people just started with an idea. And so we saw them all. And so the judges sort of had to weigh it on how they think they had progressed themselves as a maker, rather than putting them right next against each other and saying, well, your product is just way far along, so you deserve to go on.
And as long as the product was either a wearable or some sort of connected device, basically anything goes. Let your imagination run wild, be fanciful, be, the life-saving changer of the world.
Yeah, that's what's great about it, is the creativity was all over the map on this. And some people did, like a lot of makers like see a problem and they want to solve it. And so that's how they approach making things. But we also had some people, I just thought this would be fun. We have a team on tonight that does a fashion idea that is so clever that I really want you to see it. It's called Cat Clutch. And it's basically adding electronics to purses and bags for women to wear. And it's just a fun idea. And so we have a mix of really important, like, I want to save somebody's life, to fun ideas like that.
And that episode featuring that device will be as part of America's Greatest Makers Episode 2. It's on tomorrow night, April 5th, April 12th, excuse me, and that's 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on TBS. We've got Dean Houser. He is the executive producer of America's Greatest Makers with Mark Burnett and the crew at MGM Television and the folks at Intel. He's live with us this half hour from Los Angeles here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum from the other coast, New York City, with you, 61 degrees at the top of the hour. Happy you're bored. If you have a question or comment for Dean, don't be shy. You get creative and you ring it in at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. This is the first of three episodes we are doing of Tomorrow Be Televised this week. Our next episode will come an hour and a half later than normal on Thursday. That's Thursday, April 14th at 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific. Mark that time, 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 on the West Coast. And joining us will be, for another in-the-race loop of interview, the co-creator and executive producer of Starz's new series, The Girlfriend Experience, Lodge Kerrigan. He's the co-creator and executive producer of that series, winning rave reviews, including an A- from Entertainment Weekly. Lodge Kerrigan from The Girlfriend Experience, special edition of Tomorrow Be Televised, that's Thursday at 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. As the competition goes on, how are these contestants going to be judged? What do they have to do? Because I understand in the first episode, they had to pitch the product, the wearable or the connected device. What do they do from tomorrow night on?
So after, so tomorrow night is it's another casting episode. So you'll see the rest of the teams that you haven't seen so far pitch to the judges. Then after that, the rest of the series, they go back, they work on this at tech camp. They work on their devices to improve their devices and their ideas at tech camp. And then they go out in the world and they actually test their devices and their products with people that might be interested in what they're doing. So you get to see a great big growth from what you've seen on these first couple episodes on further. And plus, if they make it on to the semifinal round, they get $100,000. So they can use that money to improve their device to the finale as well. Well, they'll win $1 million. So it's, there's a lot of money behind them. There's a lot of help. These mentors and business advisors that we've given them really help shape these devices. And a lot of people are coming out of this with great products, whether they win or not. I'm really proud of the teams.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious because much of the time on our show, we deal with smart TVs and smart devices that make TVs smart, like Roku, Chromecast, Amazon Fire TV. We should mention that Amazon owns Audible.com, which is our sponsor, et cetera, et cetera. Did any of the teams propose a smart TV device or something that makes a television set smart or smarter?
They didn't do a smart television device on this show, no. I think, but season two, I have a feeling we'll probably be getting some of those devices because what they've done in this is they've incorporated the Intel Curie chip, and it's not really fit for that. It's fit for all these devices that we have on this show.
Talk a bit more about the collaboration with Intel. This is a collaboration that goes behind just a company sponsoring a program or a company instituting a program. The CEO of Intel is one of the judges. You mentioned the use of Intel chip and other equipment. This is a really all-in deal on the part of Intel.
It really is. It's sort of a first-of-its-kind collaboration. It's like Intel is they want to create the future of tech and television, and this show is sort of bringing – their slogan, I believe their slogan is experience what's inside, and they wanted to bring that to life. And so working with them and putting this show together, they put a lot of support behind it, not just financially. Like I said, we have mentors from Intel that are really getting in there, and they've been working with these teams for months to make their presentation the best. And they're drawing inspiration from the maker community, and what we're seeing more and more is this community is getting larger and larger. And so they really wanted to get in there and be at the forefront like the rest of us. And so we all see sort of makers and making as the future. I mean, I can buy a 3D printer and put it in my house, draw some like really crude drawing on my computer, and then all of a sudden I can have a 3D model printed. So technology is moving at such a fast pace that we just wanted to get in there and feature that and show the possibility and hopefully inspire more people.
Are you learning what makes a maker from your program as you're seeing these 24 teams, two to a team, do their thing, and then you whittle them down to 15 and so on and so forth, and then ultimately the teams will go for $1 million. What are you learning about what makes a maker? Is there a commonality to all these teams that you're seeing?
Well, yeah, it's different than any. I've done a lot of competition shows in the past, and what I like about makers and what I've found about these people is they're so supportive. It's not really – there's like you see people being cutthroat on these shows and not helping each other and not sharing information. These people are the opposite of that. They all want to see each other succeed. And so what I've learned is they're all really helpful. If somebody's out of something, the next team will give them part of their gear. If something's coming apart and a team doesn't understand it, somebody that does steps in and says, here's an idea, why don't you try this? Or they even do it themselves. It's the collaboration and the generosity of the makers is what I've been most impressed with.
Talk about the other judges. You've got Carol Roth, who is a business financial expert. She usually pops up on Closing Bell on CNBC. You've got Kevin Ferrara, who's like a jack of all trades. We all remember him for his work on G4. He's an entrepreneur. He now co-hosts Hack My Life, whose other co-host was on our show last year. And you also have celebrity guests that rotate.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's a great panel. You never really know how the judges panel on these shows are going to work until they get together. And I'll tell you, these guys sat down and immediately there was chemistry. So it's like, I feel so lucky because normally that doesn't happen. You never know. It takes some time to get it together. But these guys on day one are great. And what's good about them is Kevin, not only is Kevin an amazing host, he's been doing this for years. People in this world know who Kevin is. And so it's nice to have a familiar face up there. And Carol, she brings that great business mind to this. So if these people want to turn their idea into a business proposition, she's a good judge to have because she can help you get there. And then, yes, of course, we have all these amazing guest celebrities. We have another episode tomorrow night with Kenny Smith from Inside the NBA. And then we have episode 3, we have Mayim Bialik from The Big Bang Theory. And she is so smart. I think most people know by now she has a PhD in neuroscience. So she's not just on The Big Bang Theory. She actually is as smart as you would imagine. But she is so good, and her comments are so amazing to the teams. I can't wait for people to react to her because she's great at it. And then later on in the season, we have Shaquille O'Neal comes by for a couple episodes. He's amazing. He, I read somewhere he buys thousands of dollars worth of apps every day. Like, he loves apps. He loves technology, and he's a really good panelist. It's shocking the business sort of advice that comes out of his mouth. And then, of course, everybody's favorite Mike Rowe is going to appear on the finale. And we all love Mike. He gives the everyday guy perspective to this. And I even made him wear a suit. He got out of the dirty hat and T-shirt for me. So it was great.
No trenches for Mike on that one. I know Mike's work, of course, 30 jobs for many years on Discovery and his work on CNN in his current series. Was it very easy to find celebrities that not only display some sort of entrepreneurial or technology bent, but also could integrate with the regular panel? I mean, you would think of Mayim Bialik, because of her work on Big Bang Theory, and as you mentioned, her PhD, pretty much a natural. You don't necessarily think of Kenny Smith beyond what he does on Inside the NBA or the pre- and post-game shows on TNT.
Yeah, he invests in business, though, and that's what we wanted. We wanted people that could understand the world and could really wanted to be part of it. And his enthusiasm and his interest in the world and all of his business dealings really made him a good choice. And then once you see him and once you see the advice, like for those of you that watched last week, he gives really adept comments. He's really smart, and he works well with the other judges. I was super, super impressed with Kenny, and he's so great, we actually invited him back. He's going to be on our finale with Mike Rowe as well. So we're going to have a big stacked panel on the finale episode.
Episode 2 of America's Greatest Makers comes up tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on TBS. Dean Houser is one of the executive producers of the series, working with Mark Burnett, MGM Television, and the rest of the crew. And he is with us live from Los Angeles this half hour right here on Tamarvi Televised. Tom Applebaum, welcome you to the program about television on this Monday afternoon, direct from New York. If you have a question or comment, well, don't be shy. You talk, you walk with the phone at 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 0411 guest 963. Just joined the room. Next Monday on Tamarvi Televised, our lead guests will be the executive producers of the new CW drama, Containment, Matt Corman and Chris Ord. That's Matt Corman and Chris Ord of Containment. They're the executive producers on that series. That series, I believe, premieres next week on the CW, and they'll be with us live next Monday right here on Tamarvi Televised. And a week from Friday, among our guests, we'll have the head of programming for NBC Universo, who is coming up with their first weekly original drama produced in the U.S. It's called El Vato. It's about a regional Mexican superstar in Los Angeles to try to become a U.S. superstar. We'll talk to one of the key original film executives at NBC Universo a week from Friday, April 22nd, exclusively here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. So where do we go with episode 2 and beyond? How will the judging go? How will the teams be brought from the current number to the finalists?
So we've got through about half of the teams so far. So tomorrow night you're going to see, I believe, another 12 or 13 teams. Then we will pick the people that will go on from there, and we will, after those first two episodes, we're down to 15. Then episode 3 through 7, every night you're going to see three of those teams. Like I said, they're going to have worked on their projects more at Tech Camp. They're going to have gone out in the world, talked to people, tested out their ideas with people. And three at a time, they'll go up in front of the judges. One of those three teams each week will win $100,000 and move on to the million-dollar finale. So they'll have even more money and more time to improve their device before the finale.
How much time will they have to improve their product?
They have, in TV time, it's going to be about 5 weeks. In real time, it was about a month.
And do they have a mentor guiding them, as other competition shows do, or basically they're on their own?
There are several mentors. Each of the teams have several mentors that help them at Tech Camp. And then there's also two business advisors from Cal Berkeley that help them as well. So they have tons of advice, all the help they could need to improve their devices. It's much more, actually, than any sort of mentor program I've ever seen on a show like this. Normally on shows, the mentor will come in, like you see on the music shows, they'll come in for a day and work with the teams. On this, we're talking months. These advisors and mentors have been working with the teams when they're at home for months and months to get them ready. And so it's really impressive, and the teams really got a lot out of it.
Mm-hmm. What was, in putting this together, the biggest hurdle that the teams faced to showcase their product? Was it getting out in public? Was it the actual invention? Was there any sort of brick wall that was common among the teams?
The hardest thing is to just get that prototype ready to go, because you can have drawings, you can have everything working as you like, but a lot of times you can't get the technology small enough to fit the form factor for what you're trying to do. So some of these people have wrist devices, and you want eventually these things to look the size of a watch or a bracelet or something. But with all the technology and everything they were trying to do and fit all the electronics and technology in there, it was a challenge for them to get it down. And so it's fun when you see them succeed over the course of the series and get it to that final form that they always imagined in their head and they pictured in their head, and now you'll see it in front of you.
Before we go, Dean, is season 2 a done deal, or is that something that you're talking to both TBS and Intel about?
Season 2 is a done deal. We are up. People can go to americasgreatestmakers.com, and if they have a great idea, and I'm talking out of the box, anything they want to try, sign up, and we can't wait to see you for season 2.
And also, what's been like working with Mark Burnett, who now has gone from being an entrepreneur of television to being the owner of a major television studio? MGM is doing a lot with everything from Teen Wolf to this show, other things in the pipeline. What's it been like working with Mark, and how has Mark adjusted, by the way, to the idea of becoming a studio mogul?
Well, Mark is a machine, as you can imagine. This actually happened while we were creating the show, and it happened right in the middle of this. So it's been great. Mark really, really loves this show and this partnership with TBS and Intel, and he's been all over this. His hand is in everything that you see on screen. Honestly, I couldn't tell you. You're going to have to ask him how he does it all, because he has this show to think about, all the shows that he already had, and now taking on the responsibilities at MGM even more. But he works hard, and he's a successful man, and he deserves everything he has.
And are you going to stay with Maker Season 2, or are you moving on to another project?
I'm on. I'm excited. I didn't know much about the world before I started this show, and now I'm so excited. I've actually signed up. All the teams go to this place called Tech Shop, and they sign up and become members and learn how to use all these machines, 3D printers and all the gear. I've signed up. I'm learning myself, because you get inspired and you see how easy it can be. And so I'm going to become a maker myself. I already got a couple projects in my head.
You can see this program for yourself tomorrow night, America's Greatest Makers, episode number 2, comes your way tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on TBS. Check your local listings for where TBS is available in the area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, as just referred, here's where you go, www.americasgreatestmakers.com, exactly as the title goes, www.americasgreatestmakers.com. You can also go to TBS's own website, www.tbs.com. It's www.tbs.com. As you heard, season 2 already set to go. Dean Houser, executive producer of America's Greatest Makers on TBS. Thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on how the season has started for you. Hopefully wraps up even greater, and congrats on already the second season, and hopefully many, many more to come.
Thank you so much, Simon. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Take care.
Bye.
Dean Houser, executive producer of America's Greatest Makers, joining us live from Los Angeles. Well, our classic trivia question of the week for you after we have this for you from the fine folks at Audible.com. You know, we're into political season, and if you want the skinny on a lot of the political campaigns in the past, presidential, state, and otherwise, you can find out more about it through Audible.com, their leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information, with over 180,000 titles to choose from, including many political biographies, books about politics in general, dramatizations about the political scene, you name it, it's there. And the great news is, you can listen to any Audible title on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now through Blog Talk Radio. So, if you sign up at this URL, it's audibletrial.com/televised, audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook and a one-month trial of the service. And that includes Trump, the biography of Donald Trump, and who he is, what he is. Check that out, among other titles, with that 30-day free trial. And, of course, because Audible is an Amazon.com company, you know the customer service is going to be top of the line. So, with 180,000 titles to choose from, one free audiobook off the bat, 1 month trial, cannot go wrong. So check out Audible.com. Sign up at this URL, audibletrial.com/televised. audibletrial.com/televised. You can't go wrong, because everything is so great at Audible.com. And now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. If you know the answer, well, you can win a prize. That prize being Nobody Dies in Hollywood, the wonderful first novel by acclaimed TV writer-producer John Wilder of the streets in San Francisco, Return to Lonesome Dove, and Centennial fame. And this week, our classic trivia question is in honor of Patty Duke, who passed away about a week and a half ago, and developed her big breakthrough in television, The Patty Duke Show, which was, by the way, produced here in New York. Here's the question. Who played Patty Duke's mother, Patty Duke's mom, on The Patty Duke Show? Who played Patty Duke's mother, Patty Duke's mom, on The Patty Duke Show? If you know the answer, email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Make sure you enclose your name and your mailing address. And if you are first with the correct answer, before we come your way on Friday afternoon, you will win Nobody Dies in Hollywood by John Wilder, published by Falcon 87. Remember, you got to be in it to win it, so email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. If email's not your thing, how about Twitter? Use this hashtag, TWBT. That's hashtag TWBT. The Twitter option is made available to the wonderful people at Hopscotch. The folks invite all of you to create your own social soundtrack, and you can learn how at www.hopscotch.com. That's www.hopscotch.com. Either way, you're first, you win. So best of luck. Remember, you got to be in it to win it, so make it happen. And if you just missed the question, don't worry. I will post it tomorrow morning on my own Facebook page and my Twitter hashtag at UBCSimonTWBT. That's UBCSimonTWBT. And if we don't have a winner by our Thursday afternoon special edition, we will bring it to you then. Remember, our Thursday afternoon edition will be coming your way at a special time, 90 minutes later than normal, 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. So again, be in to win. And all the very best. You are listening to Tomorrow We Televise. We are the program all about television. We are with you Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Three editions coming your way this week. Our next edition, as noticed just a moment ago, Thursday, 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific. My special guest, Lash Kerrigan. He's the co-creator and executive producer of The Girlfriend Experience, premiering later this week on Starz. Big review, A-minus in Entertainment Weekly, and getting very few reviews all over the place. Lash Kerrigan from The Girlfriend Experience joining us live. That's this Thursday at 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Remember, if you'd like to hear recent episodes, and we've had some beauties over the last month or so, give us a shot at our homepage. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/television. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/television. And yesterday, we had a milepost with this program, 600,000 listens on Blog Talk Radio. That's right, 600,000 listens. We're already near 601 as we speak, and we thank all of you for that. We are now in our seventh year on Blog Talk, ninth year overall, and we kick off the eighth year of Blog Talk Radio next month. So thank you for making those 600,000 plus listens happen. By the way, that includes more than 40,000 replays so far this year, and 4,000 plus so far this month. So spread the word, keep it cooking, tell your friends and your colleagues to tune us in, either live or replay. Either way, we appreciate it. And it's even greater when you do it live. All you have to do is check us out, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Blog Talk Radio. And again, catch the replays at www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Coming up for our next half hour, we're going live to Salt Lake City, and we'll check in with the producer and one of the hosts of the new Brigham Young University television series, Random Acts of Kindness. That's all coming your way after we pull it at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected with the best internet radio in the universe. It's www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for America's Corner Garage. Check in with host Tom Tvorson and find out what's going on in the world of the auto. He'll answer your questions, have great guests from inside the industry, insider news, and a whole lot more. America's Corner Garage. Check it out every week exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, that's the BTR247 at YouTube.com. And check out the wonderful iTunes podcast app available through Apple TV 2.0. Blog Talk Radio shows, including this one, are there for you to listen and watch through your Apple TV TV set device. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow We Televised this Monday afternoon of 2016. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment for our guests ahead, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you catch us across the country, around the globe, near on Blog Talk Radio. Chat room still open at blogtalkradio.com. It's Simon Apple 04 by name. We got guest 944 and Rick Webber, our friend from Philadelphia, already in the room. Brigham Young University's television network, the only television network operated by a national college university, is still going strong. A lot of interesting shows have been popping up of late. A couple weeks ago, we brought you Relative Race, which was produced and hosted by former ESPN SportsCenter anchor Dan Debenham. Well, last Monday night, the latest BYU original production came up, and it's a prank show with a heart. It's called Random Acts of Kindness. And it's on tonight at 10:30 Eastern. That's 8:30 Mountain Time and 7:30 Pacific. Joining us live from Salt Lake City, Utah, is the producer of the program, Tom Morrill. Tom, welcome aboard.
Hey, thanks very much for having us.
You're very welcome. And joining both him and you is one of the co-hosts of the program, Will Rubio. Hi, Will.
Hi, how's it going? I like to consider myself the main host with some sub-hosts, but co-host is fine, too. That works.
Okay, we stand adjusted, so thank you for that. And, Will, it's great to have you representing you and all the hosts.
That was a failed joke. I apologize.
No problem. Hey, joke or otherwise, we do know that. Tom, how long has Random Acts been in the hopper for?
Well, I think the idea came up. The pilot was shot in August of 2014. So it was probably conceived in early summer of 2014. We thought it would be a great fit for the channel and their mission of see the good in the world. And hidden camera shows usually have a negative connotation. People think that prank has a negative connotation, and hidden camera show is trying to make embarrass people. We could kind of put a spin on it, and it would be a great fit for the channel. So pilot in August of 2014. They sat on it for just a little while, making decisions and making some adjustments, and then we kind of went into full production almost a year later, about August 2015, and we've been in production since, and we're almost done now.
Mm-hmm. Will, did you grow up on a show like Candid Camera, which, as the creator Alan Butt used to say, was people caught in the act of being themselves, and sometimes did some wonderful slice of life portraits of people doing great things, or those wonderful interviews that Alan Fun did with kids? And if you didn't do that, shows like Punked or Totally In Video, what had you appeal to be part of this?
I think the precursor to that might have been America's Funniest Home Videos. I just loved this idea of people just caught on camera, not really expecting to have something crazy or funny happen to them, but it did. And then beyond that, I did watch Punk'd and different shows like that. Also YouTube, you know, the YouTube became kind of the breeding ground for people doing pranks and different things like that. But again, those oftentimes have kind of a negative connotation to them, people doing kind of mean things and putting people out there in a way that they wouldn't want to be out there. And with this show, we definitely try to keep it funny and entertaining, but at the same time, give it a lot of heart so that people feel good about watching and people feel good about being on it.
Tom, give an example of a prank with a heart that you showcase here.
Sure. Will was in a great so each episode is made up of three segments, two shorter segments and one main segment. So the shorter ones, which we call medium segments, they're lighter, they're funnier, they definitely bring smiles to people's faces, and the main ones are a little bit more heartfelt, really focusing on like a deserving family. But one of the medium ones that Will did is called Cafe Copycat, and we went into a little Italian restaurant. And as they were being seated, Will dropped the wallet on the ground. And if the people behind him in line to be seated pick the wallet up and give it back to Will, then they would be seated next to Will and another host, Emily, side by side. And then Will and Emily would go on to copy every single thing that couple said, ordered, acted, behaved, and the waitresses were copying each other as well. And so it became this almost awkward scenario of, they're copying exactly what we're saying. Why are they doing that? And in the end, Will would say, if you're wondering why we've been copying you, we just wanted to make sure we got your order right because we are ordering your meal for you because it's on us because you give the wallet back and you're good people and we just wanted to reward you for that. And so it's kind of a scenario where we're playing a bit of a joke on them, but in the end it's to give them something nice and to reward them for being kind.
Mm-hmm. Will, do you and your fellow hosts pick the pranks, or do you get just assigned and go with the flow?
A lot of the pranks are assigned, but we definitely have a say in what direction to take. Everybody brings kind of something different to the table, and whether they're comedic sensibilities or just the way they interact with the public. So we definitely have a say in kind of how it goes and the overall outcome of the sketch. But a lot of them are assigned, just kind of brainstorm. And, you know, producers are definitely open to us coming up with ideas and different things that we can incorporate into future shows and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the hosts, they do so much. They add so much. It's, you know, I worked on a movie, you know, Simon, it's funny. I had no idea that Patty Duke had passed away. I heard you on the show just before we came on. And I worked on a movie with Patty Duke about 10 years ago. And it was on that movie I realized, you know, you write the words, the producer, the writers, they work on the script. But then when the actors come on and do a table read, the script comes alive in a way that you never anticipated. Conversely, that is the same here. I mean, our hosts are phenomenal, and we might come up with an idea, but when they get their hands on it, they really make it shine, and they bring so much more to it than we ever could have imagined. So it's been a very interesting to see that same kind of thing happen in the nonfiction platform as well.
By the way, what was the film you worked on with Patty Duke?
She started on a film called Together Again for the First Time, a Christmas movie with us, and then she ended up not being able to finish the project for other reasons, and someone had to take her place. But I got to spend a couple weeks with her, and it was a really great experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, I saw a bit of your resume, and you've got a very expansive one because you've done commercials, you have your own stuff on YouTube, but you also have done guest shots on shows like Community, for Yahoo, and of course Transparent, which everything hopeful may be up for a Peabody Award tomorrow. We'll see about that when the announcements are made around the country. How did you use your comedy background to pull the pranks off?
How do I do it? My biggest thing is I love interacting with people. Like I have kind of if I can say a natural rapport with people, and it really helps. I have an extensive background in improv comedy, which is essentially the art of making stuff up on the spot. you know, get a suggestion from the audience, whoever you're interacting with, and then you create a scene or a scenario just based on that one little bit of information. And that definitely helps with a show like this where it's hidden camera and you have to think on your feet to be able to, you know, change directions at a moment's notice. And so definitely improv comedy has helped prepare me for this role on Random Acts.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And Will's so good at, sorry Simon, yeah, Will's so good at it, because this kind of the setup of the show requires someone being able to improv, because you never know how someone's going to respond to one of our setups, and so our hosts have to be able to interact on the spot with whatever they say or do.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned, too, that the other hosts along with Will are Emily Starr, Lisa Valentine-Clark, and Aaron Woodall, and they're all part of Random Acts of Kindness. Episode 2 is tonight at 10:30 Eastern. That's 8:30 Mountain Time and 7:30 Pacific Time, all on BYU TV. That's the National Television Network, operated by Brigham Young University, reaches about 55, 60 million households on cable and satellite every day. We've got producer Tom Morello and host Will Rubio live with us from Salt Lake City, Utah, here on Tomorrow Be Televised this half hour. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Happy you were aboard on this Siblings Day of 2016. New holiday, really catching on. And we invite you to our program, so all it takes is a ring from you to give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonAckle04. My name is welcome guest 974 into the room. So use the phone or the room. Either way, what you say matters. Next Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, our lead guests will be the executive producers of the new CW series, Containment, Matt Corman and Chris Hoard. And the following Friday, among our guests, we'll have the head of original production at NBC Universal, whose new scripted series, El Vato, premieres later this week. It's their first scripted television drama about a Mexican regional music star out to make it big in the United States. I believe that is running on Sunday night. So again, next Friday, April 22nd, we'll have one of the key executives at NBC Universal talk about their first weekly scripted drama. Should be a lot of fun. And you can check it out for yourself. That's next Friday, 3:10 Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What's the most ambitious prank that, Tom, you and your folks have pulled off?
Say that first part again. What kind of prank?
What's the most ambitious random act that you've pulled off?
Oh,
so, example,
ambitious.
I understand that one of them was picking up cancer patients and driving them to treatment in a Ferrari, and Uber made it happen.
That's right. Yeah, Will, that's one of Will's favorite sketches. Will, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I tell you what, you know, we started off just picking up regular people, and it was kind of all fun and games. You know, on their app, it would say that a black Toyota Prius is coming to pick them up, and I would show up in this Ferrari, and they just wouldn't even know what to think, and you had kind of some comedy there. But later on in the day, we teamed up with, Uber's concierge service, where we were able to give people that need treatment rides to their to whatever treatment they were getting that day. And it was pretty awesome to see, you know, to be there for them, to see their reactions, because you can definitely tell these people have a different perspective on life and the amount of whether it be that they don't have much time left or just the ability to appreciate every moment. And they just kind of bask in this unexpected opportunity. And it really touched me to hear their stories and just be a part of that. It was a really cool thing. As far as ambitious pranks, there was one where we, in the pilot episode, actually, that aired last week, that people can catch at BYUTV.org. They can stream the pilot episode that just aired last week. But we put in a driveway. We fit these people up. They had no idea. They went to... The mom is very sick. Oftentimes she can't get out of bed. And so when she's feeling okay, we got them to stay over at the Alaskan Inn. And while they were gone, one of the things that they really needed that their friend kind of nominated them for was to put in a driveway and a walkway into their house, because it's very difficult for her when she's sick to get out. So it was just a dirt mud patch, basically. We went in there and poured a beautiful driveway and walkway all in one day. So I had some doubts as to whether we were able to pull that one off, but we did it, and that was a really cool experience as well.
Now, Tom, there's a bit of a twist to Random Acts, which is not only do your hosts and some of the people that you bring in, you call your team of do-gooders, including people from YouTube, other places, are performing the random acts on the spot, but you also have segments where you invite a subject out of nowhere to perform a random act. How does that work?
Well, we did. We were over on Pier 39 in San Francisco a couple weeks ago, and we had a fun sketch called Will of Fortune, spelt like Will's name, and people were invited to come up and spin the wheel, and it was 50-50 chance. You could either get a chance to win something, a free this or that, or a chance to do something for someone else. So you were kind of up there spinning the wheel, and it depended on, you know, which totally different side of the road you could land on. And, you know, one of the ladies, she landed on give a meal. So you could get a meal. You could get a free meal on the pier, or maybe it could land on one called give a meal. And she landed on that one, and we gave her this certificate that allowed any person to get a meal on the pier. And most people would do something very close by. They'd give a compliment, they'd give a meal, they'd give a cookie, they would give a random person a hug or a high five, and they'd just find someone really close to the wheel. And so people kind of know, you invite them to do something good and they'll do it. And one lady, we gave her that, she landed on give a meal, and she wandered and wandered and wandered. One of our camera guys had to, 15 minutes he was gone, and she just went really far down the pier to find someone who was really in need of it. And that was touching because she wasn't just paying lip service, she went out and she did it. And I have been fascinated by just generally how good people are. I mean, I think people get a bad rap sometimes.
Well, this is a show that really is very inclusive. Because in addition to all the people working on the show and your fellow hosts, you like bringing in people from other BYU TV shows, Studio C, the improv sketch comedy show. And I understand the Mormon Tabernacle Choir and Orchestra has a bit as well.
Yeah, it's been a cool sort of a collaborative platform that we've kind of created here where we can bring in people from, you know, like you said, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, Studio C, more recognizable faces, and that serves two purposes. One, these people want to help, they want to get involved, and in general, oftentimes they're just good people that want to do these random acts of kindness. But also, when the time comes, you know, they can promote it through their channels, which are a little bit more established, and get the word out for the show and different things like that. But it's definitely been cool working with these social media influencers and people that have essentially created a career from, you know, being in the public eye on YouTube and Instagram and different things like that. And the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, I personally wasn't involved in that sketch, but that's just cool. You know, there's America's Choir, basically, and being able to incorporate them in some sort of random act. And they were more than willing to do that, which is really cool.
First time you were able to get some local business in Salt Lake City and elsewhere in Utah to get involved with some of the particular random acts, one that involved their products, whether it was a grocery store, organization called Heart to Home, Lawn Butlers, which I'm sure has lawn products. How easy was it to get those businesses involved?
That's a good question, because it's always interesting when your first season show, when you don't have episodes for people to watch, they don't really know what you are, they don't really know the reach you're going to have. And so just now, as we're starting to air episodes, that becomes slightly easier as they get a sense of what the show is. But before, again, I was very surprised that the driveway sketch that Will referenced was the first main segment that we ever filmed. And that guy, his name was Sean with Good Concrete, and he came, and he got lots of stuff donated on his own. We didn't even ask him to do it, and frankly, being such a new show, we didn't expect it. But we used 16 yards of concrete. He got half of it donated on his own. He got the Bobcat. He got the track, you know, all this equipment donated just because he wanted to help, because he got the sense of what we were doing. And that's happened more than we expected, especially so early on. You know, people, they want to help, and it's obviously they have a benefit to being on a TV show, hopefully, and that's what they see, and that's great, and we hope that brings them lots of good business. But even if it weren't, I think they would want to help. It's been fascinating to see that.
Tom Morrell is the producer, Will Rubio, one of the hosts of Random Acts of Kindness. It's the new original series on BYU, Brigham Young University Television, available throughout the country on cable and satellite. And the episode number 2 is tonight, 10:30 Eastern. It's 8:30 Mountain Time. and 7:30 Pacific Time on that channel. Tom and Will are live from Salt Lake City right here on Tamavi Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. A few more minutes with both Tom and Will. So get on the horn. That means the phone line. And make your voice go at 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 0419. Remember, our next episode, special Thursday edition, starts 90 minutes later than normal, 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific. That's 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific. Our special guest, Rod Kerrigan, the co-creator and executive producer of the new Star series based on the Steven Soderbergh film, The Girlfriend Experience. And by the way, I understand that the star of that series is going to be a star out of it. She's getting rave reviews from Entertainment Week and other places as well. Rod Kerrigan from The Girlfriend Experience, that's this Thursday, April 14th, 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Will, what's been the most surprising random act that you've had so far?
The most surprising random act, we did a bit or a sketch where we set up a trash can in the park and rigged it with a speaker and a microphone so I can be across the way or hidden from view. And it was essentially the complimenting trash can. So when people walked by, I engaged them in conversation and tried to get them to talk to me. And then I would pay them a sincere compliment. And then inside the lid, if they would engage me and they're nice to me, essentially, there was a gift card. If they would just lift the lid, which I would, you know, instruct them to give it to them, or to do a random act of their own, you know, stop somebody walking by, give them a compliment, help somebody in some way, and then I would give them this prize. But the last time we shot it, they were spotting me no matter where we went. So I actually climbed up about 30 feet in a tree and sat for like 4 or 5 hours, which was pretty painful experience once I got down. But it was just cool, and nobody spotted me at that point, and it was just cool to see people just be taken out of their normal routine, you know, walking in the park, doing their rounds or whatever, and then just kind of be delighted by this out of the ordinary experience. And in fact, one of the ladies that we stopped and just kind of interacted with and had her do a random act wrote an entire blog post about it and just how touched she was and what it just made her day. And those are the sort of things that we definitely want to continue to do and just brighten people's day. And I think as the show airs, more people become more aware of it. It's definitely going to we're going to be able to do a lot more of that.
Rip Robert from Philadelphia is on the line. Rip, we have a few minutes to go, so go right ahead.
Hey, guys. I'm wondering, first, is this show shot in Utah? Because I'm wondering, would a show like this be possible on the East Coast, like shooting in Boston and New York and Philly, where it's, a little bit tougher and people are more skeptical of things?
Well, that is a question I've actually thought about before. And I think in the beginning of the show, I would have said, yeah, I think it would be a bit more difficult on the East Coast. It is predominantly, the first season was predominantly shot in Utah. I think they were keeping it a little closer to home, so the budget could be a little bit smaller when as they tried to show out. We did shoot 2 episodes worth in California. And now my answer would be different. I am literally constantly surprised by the generosity of people. I mean, I went to California, and I thought, well, it'd be different here. No, they were just as, if not more so, than the Utahns. And I would be interested to see what happened on the East Coast. I hope I wouldn't be wrong. I think that people would jump in and enjoy the happiness we're trying to spread.
I will say, we should, that trash can bit I was talking about, we shot it in Salt Lake, and then we shot another in Oakland. And I was just expecting a lot, a real mixed bag in Oakland. And I was super surprised. People were even, if I can say, kind of just very, a lot more receptive to it and kinder in Oakland than even in Salt Lake. So I think Tom's right. You know, you give people a chance, and they'll be open to it once they catch the vision of it. They're going to be glad to participate in something like this.
Cool. Well, best wishes to you guys. And will I be able to watch this on YouTube or
Yeah, they're going to, you know, like I said, each episode has three segments, and they're going to break those segments up, I think, individually on YouTube, or you can watch the full episode at BYUTV.org. And you can learn about the show, any other questions, at randomxtv.com. That kind of has pictures and info about the show and links to episodes.
Cool. I'll definitely check that out. Best wishes to you guys, man. Great success.
Hey, thanks very much, man.
Absolutely. Thanks, Simon.
You're very welcome, Rick. Thanks for the call. Take care. Rick Weller, good friend from Philadelphia. Random Acts of Kindness, Episode 2. You can catch it tonight, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 8:30 Mountain Time, 7:30 on the West Coast, on BYU TV, the national network from Brigham Young University. Check your local to where BYU is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, here's where you go, www.byutv.org. That's www.byutv.org. And Tom, you have a second website that people can get more specific about the show?
Yeah, that's right. It's randomxtv.com.
Okay, randomxtv.com. Definitely well worth checking out. It's wonderful to see a show, by the way, personal thought, that uses the prank idea to showcase how people can be great with each other more often than you think. Tom Law, Will Rubio, thank you both very much for joining us. Congratulations on the start of the show, and hopefully we'll run many, many more seasons doing some great things for people along the way.
Thank you, Simon. It's been a pleasure.
Appreciate it, Simon. Thank you very much. Thanks for having us on.
You're welcome, Tom and Will. Take care. All the greatest.
All right. Bye-bye.
We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Tom Law and Will Rubio joining us live from Salt Lake City. Thursday on Smart Beat Televised, join us 90 minutes later than normal when my guest will be Lodge Kerrigan. He is the co-creator and executive producer of the anticipated Starz series based on the Steven Spielberg-directed film, The Girlfriend Experience. And 1 week from today, my lead guests will be Matt Corman and Chris Ord from the new CW series, Containment. They are the executive producers. It's all coming up right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And check out the podcast version of the program 24/7 at iTunes.com. And remember, if you have Apple TV 2.0, check our program and other Blog Talk Radio podcasts out on the brand new iTunes podcast app so you can hear and watch us 24/7 from your television set. That's an Apple TV 2.0, available from your local Apple store or online. We'd love to hear from you. What do you think about our guests today? And what's your thoughts on where TV is at and where it's going? Well, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. I do respond to emails within 24 hours. You also find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. We love hearing from you, because guess why? What you say matters. Absolutely. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associates are Amy Mexico and Candace Williams. Andy Toews, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, the creator and chief executive of this very enterprise, is Mr. Alan Levy. Tomorrow's show is brought to you today by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Remember, you can get a free audio book when you sign up for a 30-day trial. Use this URL, audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. Audible.com, an Amazon company. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Siblings Day 2016 and beyond. We'll catch you again on Thursday, 90 minutes later than normal. That's 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific. You know there, Blog Talk Radio. Be safe and be great out there. And until next time, stay well and stay tuned.